of how you're going to judge good and bad, what turns you on and what doesn't turn you on. And you know that everybody since then have been recycled and that you have used them. And inasmuch as you have used them, they have used you. And when you say, really and truly, do you love my soul? They will say, of course, we love the same things. That should bother you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them why. Yeah! And I love it so beautifully. What people say about my beautiful teachers and my beautiful advanced student. Some people in South America said, well, what were they like? And you know what their answer was? They wear truth more beautifully and more elegantly and more nobly than I have ever in my life seen anyone wear it. You may continue. Music. How many of you are learning? Yeah. How many of you like what you hear? Excellent. So what chemicals are you doing that with? I'll get you some new ones. Now. So. Is that true? You and I both know it's true. Everyone that we bring into our life in the same neural net to create the same emotion is a compunction to never bring to wisdom the first love, the first laughter, the first experience. That addiction, when you talk about that people in your life, that you're not happy, when you talk about your relationship is failing or will fail, what you're talking about is that in reality, you've used this person and they've been service to you as you have been into them. And you have serviced each one with chemistry. And when you are flooded with it, and it comes time for the two of you to make a quantum leap into a decision that doesn't require this, you are at odds with one another. Suddenly you wake up and you see this ass in your life. And what does society tell you? Go to bed and have sex. Everything will be better in the morning. Well, in a way that is true. How many did you hear what I said? In a way that is true. And in enlightenment, what we understand that is that if that is happening to us, we have not had an original affair since our first affair. And that we have not had original love, Mama, since we had our first. And maybe we haven't had it at all. And so as a result of not having it all, we make sure we never have it. So we can have an opinion on it. Ooh, you're far out. So, what enlightenment tells us then is that if we are creating the rose from our mind, from our brain, that what is happening is the brain is firing off like a hologram, like a movie, but it's four dimensions, as all holograms are. Because we can go in our mind and experience that prism or that stained glass window, and we can have extraordinary realities from that. We can just stay in our head. Psychedelic drugs did just that. The problem with them is they connected your ear with your eye, and you thought that was really special. This is nothing like that. That in our brain, we can create realities that are so stupendous. And imagine in the days of old, those fabulous workmen, those great artists, that created all those stained glass windows of truth, waiting for the sun to hit them. And who did the sun represent? The observer. God. Consciousness and energy. You who can change your mind. You who can have your mouth rattling on about some concept. And you are fervently, and suddenly you find yourself detached, watching your mouth rattling on, and you're going, who in the, what am I doing here? Why is this happening? Watching yourself be wrong. You're going to learn how to change that. How to change being wrong. And in this beautiful kingdom in your brain, those wonderful, great secret societies of old, and they preserve truth against the rapaciousness of organization called religion, societies and kingdoms and rule. And they kept all of their knowledge sacred, and they built these marvelous windows, and that to those who had eyes to see, and that those who had ears to hear could look and behold the truth in front of you. And the window is waiting for the light to hit it. And when it does, it becomes three-dimensional. That holy mass of blood red and sapphire blue. And architects of, well, they look a little different than mass. And what they were telling you, this is how your brain works. And the sun is your attention. And when you put your attention to it, that in quantum physics is called the observer. And so when the observer looks through the window of your mind, then it is the sun shining through this beautiful hologram. And the observer is collapsing energy into quantum particles. And on another, more sophisticated level, it is unwinding from the infolded, a choice of reality that was always there, that will unfold, and that reality will be now our destiny. And that whatever we see as our destiny will become divine because we chose it. And no matter what we do, it has a divine will to manifest, and it is our duty in this God-given beautiful life to experience the marvelousness of God inside of us. And no matter what we do, we cannot run away from our destiny of greatness. Yeah. So, the great work depends upon an aspect called the great architect. And who's the great architect? Why, it's you. How do we make, then, if we look at our life and say, we never loved these people in our life, we used these people in our life, and when these things grew old with us, when, like any addict, will sell, steal from their own mother money to buy the drugs to support their own addiction. And all of you broads out there, you will steal out of your children's fund to put a better face on. You're just as bad. So what when we realize this? Oh my God. We have felt guilty that we couldn't feel for this person anymore. But what was the agreement that we had him in our life? We had him in our life like an addict has this next main line. And for the time that they served us emotionally, and it wore off. And what did we do? We felt racked with guilt. And we went to advisors and friends. And they said, this is how you re-inspire that fire. Well, what were they telling you? To get down and get it on again like you originally did. Except it wasn't original. This was a duplicate of an original feeling. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Come on! All right, you do? Then turn to your partner and tell them, I don't care if it's your husband. I don't care if it's your wife. I don't care if it's your best friend. You tell them what I just said. If, of course, you agree with that, so be that. I say, group, are you digging this teaching? I say, group, are you digging this teaching? I say, group, are you digging this teaching? Should be that. So how many of you in this moment are going to wear this truth really well? Raise your hand. And you know, only if you have the knowledge will you understand why you've outgrown a situation. And if you don't have the knowledge, you will feel guilty, you will feel like a failure, you will feel bad, and you will spend many, many days of this heart that's beating, feeling guilty and bad. You know what it is really like? What it is really like is that this all belonged to the nature of the soul. And you know, you can't sit here and tell me that in previous incarnations you didn't have sex, and that you didn't love, and that you didn't get money and wealth from people, that you didn't sell yourself for the comfort of your own freedom or your own materialism. You can't sit here and tell me you've never done that, because you've all done that. You've all been whores to your own desire. You get what I'm saying to you? And we can say that so deliciously. You know why it's delicious? Because in that statement, we are proclaiming our eternalness. We have lived before. We have done this before. This is bad news. So what happens with the neural net that the soul gave you to incarnate into was predetermined reality. But when you become enlightened, you can turn off the lights and move somewhere else. And what is it, like the person sitting next to you, to have that shaved difference, that little point of view that's marginally and fractionally and subatomically different, that when we change our life, that we have the new experiences and the new values, and they start all over, they're brand new. But we carry with us a wisdom, because whatever we refuse to do again and change our life to become anew, the new is the joy of the unknown that we are now participating in. In this life, you know your hard-on is not because this person is just really beautiful, because you want to use them like a piece of meat. And your body, your suffering and starving your body, it doesn't even have the fuel to make the proper chemicals. Is that how it is? Is that all you're good for? I'm afraid it is, Master. Well, in the school, we can recognize this. And what is it then to move and in a moment collectively choose to own this and have a new life without dying? Is that possible? It's always been possible. Science has always told you you use less than a tenth of your brain. So I'm going to ask you, what is going on with the other 99%? And you know, your body responds to your brain. Don't make your body make your brain. Don't ever do that. So, is it possible in a change then that you can love anew? Yes. And will the lessons of this lifetime of this personality be remembered, yes, without dying? And how will they be remembered? They will be the pearls of wisdom. What is the need for wisdom? Why did God say to us, go and make known the unknown? Dream the dream. That is the only rule. To make known the unknown is to take out of nothing and create something. And nothing is a relative concept. What seems to be abundant in one person's life, and they would marvel at the lack in another person's life. A person who has lack has nothing. Do you dig it? If you have lack, you have nothing. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. Yeah. Nothing is relative. Tell your partner that. When we mean the term relative, we mean from your point of view. What is nothing to you may not be nothing to anyone else, but it's nothing to you. That is called being relative. Can you dig it? Good. So listen up and listen good. To make known the unknown is to pull out of nothingness what once something never existed. And that's the great art. That's the great alchemy. And what is the greatest alchemy of all? When we do it to ourselves. The most deserving, the most benevolent, and the most beautiful our life. And when we have nothing, we only have to use the resource of knowledge in our brain and long moments of looking through that stained glass window until the sun turns it on. And when it does, it will collapse all subatomic particles to create a phase shift called reality. And that destiny will be the new something. And why do we love that? We love that because will we ever run out of the ability to do that? Never. But we have to wake up first. We can die in philosophy, but we live in experience. How many of you understand that? So be that. So in that new nothingness, we have found a place that we can fill it up. And what is nothing to one man and one woman is already done by someone else. It's all relative. But all that is important is you. Because you are God and you are supposed to make known the unknown. That's the only thing you are supposed to do. And the privilege of life is to live in the kingdom that you have the power to do that. And if you are so scorned to be so back here, it is because you haven't owned all the emotions. Is that a bad thing? Or is that a good thing? Isn't that answer relative? Is it bad to be reincarnated and imbued and indeed endowed with this preordained prejudice? Or this preordained need for freedom? You may be born in this culture, but you're rebelling the whole damn time. You just don't know how to get out. Is that a bad thing? It's relative, isn't it? It's good for you and bad for them. So is there any meaning to good and bad? It's relative. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. So I want to ask you a question. Did that make sense to you? How do you make sense when people want to make you cattle? Isn't it not to make them agree with you, but to find it in you first? How many of you understand that? So be that. So, The only person you should be interested in pleasing is your conscience. Well, so now, how many of you are starting to feel a little interested now? How many of you are starting to feel like that this is sorted? Yeah, like you. So be that. I send you those runners of this teaching. And when entities say to you, you've changed, you look at them and say, isn't it about time? So wonderful, so hot, so great. If someone says to you, but this is not godlike, you look at them and say, not one day I ever knew you did you ever act like a god. Today I act like a god. So, now, so beautiful. You say, when you look at you, then all of the legendary teachings that God loves you, it is the truth. You are loved. And your life is important. And you cannot keep creating emotions and collapsing consciousness till one day you are a nothing. And why would you ever want to kill yourself when you've used less than a tenth of your brain? And your food is being processed to give you all of those chemistries to allow consciousness to look through a tenuous organism called neurology. It's the brain. And that your beautiful brain is designed by a God to function like a computer. You only have one program? You're going to tell me that. No, Mama, tell me that's the truth. Why would you kill the computer? Because you can't work it. You only need information. You only need knowledge. Because to take away your life is to take away a gift. And if you say to yourself, but Master, I have created nothing. I have used and abused, and I will say, well, welcome to the world. Why are you special? I mean, we all have bravery who live through it and change it. And so we look at this and go, my God, how about my DNA? Am I only a Mexican? Am I only Portuguese? Am I only Italian? Am I only American? Have I only got brown eyes? Oh, I have them. I love them. I love myself. So how do I turn on my DNA to sort of, you know, shapeshift? But we do that all the time. In the advanced group, of course. Right now, you're sort of stuck on one drawing. But when we start to move into areas that we start to own the soul, for example, how outrageous to never blame anybody for our own problems. And that actually our problems, you can say, with a more enlightened view, say, oh dear, 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 I inherited them from bliss. I was an ass before. I'm still an ass. But I'm getting my together. Yeah. Cool. People go, what the? No, you heard me. Is Isn't that powerful? Try saying that. Say that to your partner. Say, now let's see, how would you say that in your time? Yeah. Then say, problems? Honey, I created all my problems. I'm a reincarnated problem. I am reincarnated. I don't blame anybody for it. Come on, tell them. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Get it going. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Tell me true. Tell me true. Did that feel good saying that? That feel like power? I'm an ass, but at least I made me that way. Wasn't that cool? And you know what's disconcerting to people around you when you say that? They're afraid you'll do something about it. Like change. So you may be asking yourself right now, is this what they're doing in Yelm, Washington? Yeah. And how about the Sirius? We have different stations in the school they can go and be. But this is the wine of Christ. I don't know what the objection is. You know, if you think I'm happy, baby, I'm always happy. I always am what I have ever been. Beautiful. Gorgeous. Godlike. Loving you and your trash. So. Cool, huh? And we'll get to me in a moment. But right now, I think you're in a whole heap. And so we're all talking about you right now. Me, I'm terrific. And we'll tell that story shortly. Where was I? Oh, yeah. I was on about what it is to finally say, you know what? I blame nobody. Oh, God, that's so hard to say. I want to say, this person made me say that. But you know, I'm going to give you your choices here. Now, you can go the same route of what we always expect you to say. You know, when you're a victim. It's called addiction. So you already have the PAT program of who's making you unhappy. You know, all you have to do is call mama at home when you need a little redemption. And she'll remind you, you're a failure. And you go, oh, I got to go out and drink. You know, but here's where this puts us. Either you think this is the only lifetime you ever had, and the most savvy amongst you, if you think this is the only lifetime you had and that's the best you can do, you already are a failure. Problem is, it isn't. And as soon as you're dead, you're going to go, oh, it is true. We'll talk about that later. But for right now, the most powerful people, and what we want to do is to release our power, and we change neural nets. The soul started us out on this journey of blame and sacrifice and addiction and redemption. You know, we had a last lifetime. Maybe you were in the war. Maybe you were this and that. And you know, you may find yourself rather coward-like. And you don't know if that's because you kill so many people or they killed you. And you don't like confrontation. But what is it in you then that wants to control people? There's a whole lot of knowledge you don't have. And isn't that wonderful? Because you're going to get information about yourself. It's going to be marvelous. Now, why is it hard to say, I'm not going to blame anybody else. And you know, I'm going to send you the runners in there like tests. Hello, Ram. and I'm going to blow a wonderful wind your way. Because I am the Lord of the wind. We'll talk about that another time. But just to let you know, P.S. I am. So when you have this runner, you'll also have a gust of wind. So, when you have this runner, a person's going to come up. Your response mechanism is automatic. You're going to go, you're wrong. Really? No, honey, I'm divine. I have been sent here to poke needles in your ass. And as long as you respond to me like that, victim, 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 tail on fire. And you're going to go, oh my God. Well, what's the right answer? Well, you know what the right answer is. You have two answers, two paths. And what are they? You can say that you are the victim of circumstance, that God made you this way. And so I always think that that stinks to high heaven like a whole pile of manure. And it starts to stink, and you get a little closer to it, it stinks even worse. When people tell you that God made you this way, you're just about to be slapped in the face. And we can use that analogy. But if you do, under the states of religion, then this is the only life you're grappling with. So, you know, if you were born mean and bad and deceiver and all that trash, guess what? You're going to die that way. And you're going to say, it was the will of God. And hopefully I'll go to heaven. Well, then why did the preachers tell you that you're a sinner? If God made you this way, then why are you a sinner? And why do you have to change so you can go to heaven? I mean, I don't know what you do with this gray matter up here, but it sure isn't contemplation. Now, you can do that and live the rest of your life. And if you choose to be a victim, you have taken your power away from you and put it on your parents or some other nebulous person that made you feel bad about your life. Boo-hoo. You're a failure. I can't do anything right. No, you can't. So, you can go that route because God forbid you ever stop being a stinky ass. Well, my wife won't let... Get your ass out there and change your life. You may get a better wife. All right, where do I sign up? Well, right over here. Now... The wives of God too. So we can go the route of blame. You know, everything happened to you, and you did bad things to other people because it happened to you. You can do that. You're going to go to hell and burn. Burn, burn, burn. Or you can say, you know what? I was born this wretched person. I came out of the womb pointing my finger at somebody. I came out of the womb entitled. I came out of the womb disabled by depression. I'll tell you why you're depressed. You're about to get done to you what you did to other depressed people. And that's always a depressing issue, isn't it? It's sort of like that thing when your chickens come home to roost. But it's powerful to say, pardon me. You know what? I created all this. But guess what? When you do that, there is so much power in you at that moment. Because when you forgive people, it's not such as, I forgive you. It's sort of like, all right, I did it, I saw you. It's me who reacted. It's not them, it's you. Everything is you. Because that's God in you. Do you understand? And all we're after, I know this is important to you, brothers and sisters, hallelujah, brother. All we're after here is not that you are a sinner and you're going to go to hell and burn. We just want you to stop acting like an ass and get smart. We all will be happy for that. And that means that you have to own this emotion, this addiction that's called your image and your identity. You look at yourself. You like gossip? Well, you like gossip. Well, you're envious. Well, you have a problem with your relationship. You haven't understood. You don't understand what I just said. You're old and you're used and you have used these people till you can't have the same feeling you had once upon a time. That's it. Get a divorce. Find somebody else. That's the addiction. But the church has said for all eternity, really? Oh. And if they make you believe that, so is karma. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. You may begin. How many of you knew that the situations you were binding your life to were temporal? How many of you knew that? Temporal. That this was something, it felt good, but there was a sense that it would wear off. How many of you knew that? I love men. You know, men run from marriage. They just want to propagate children. They don't want to be bound. I love that. And why do I love that? They're not fit to be married. On the same token, women are nearer to God because they are inspirational, clever, inventive, scheming. Men don't scheme about coming. Women scheme about money, security. Now, why do they do that? Because they've been denied their own power. Women don't need a man to have a baby. They can go to a gene bank, and maybe they should, to have the baby. Because women, they're not involved in screwing everybody. You made them that way. And when you did, you lost. When you made them that way, you lose. Because one day when you die, you're going to be looking for that womb. And where are you going to find it? So we talk about that the first act of becoming, which is changing from our humanity, and that is the beginning and the end of our unremarkable existence. That then when we start to take our power back and take responsibility for our own manipulations, our own traps, everything for our own need to feel happy and joyful, we will destroy someone else's dream just so that we feel competitively. And this is what men do competitively, that they won. Now, if you say women are competition and they're competitive, as women evolve, they are not that. They are genius because they are further up the seals. But when you drag a woman down and make her a piece of meat because you're such a terrific buy, you know, nobody is as good as you. When you take women down that far, then you have something you call whores. You've destroyed their marvelous ingenuity, their power to create. They are the womb of the world. How do you think you got here? When you take them down, and the church took them down and has always taken them down because of Peter. That bunch of old neutered asses has been running the Catholic Church all these centuries. Because women are closer to God because they are not driven by sexual power. They are driven by the art of survival. And when they give birth to one of their children, they will sacrifice their own nobleness to buy into some man so he will bring home the money to support him. And she'll give her body to him. She'll destroy her life so that her child will come from a good home. How many of you came from such homes like that? Raise your hands. So be it. So, it's cool to take back your power, and it is. When you're going to get a rush when you realize that you played this game and you got nowhere, you just had a lot of casualties along the way. You have. I don't care what, I don't care who you are, you have. But then when we come to these women, one of the greatest faults you ever did was to destroy them and take away their power. And the church was so afraid that a woman could seduce a man away from them that they destroyed the woman, destroyed her. She can't go into church unless she covers up. She is soulless. And all of her children are sinners. Now, and those of you who loved your mother but act like your father, feel particular sorrow for your mother. Women in the new world are gods too. God doesn't have a gender, by the way. But the expression from the third seal on down is gender. It's polarized. It's either positive or negative. And all decisions are polarized. The light is polarized. In order to have photonic light, we had to collide two electrons to get it. No. So the light is the depth of two subatomic particles. Christ-like, isn't it? So we could say Christ was Jesus, or we could say Christ is an electron. What would you like to talk about? Women are moving in a free world. And they're moving in a free will to their own greatness. And they seem to be closer to God because they're praying constantly for their husbands, their children, and for their own wickedness of hypocrisy. They don't know why God made them stay with this man. And they don't know why they lost their beauty. Because he's out with whores and other women. And she's just trying to keep her home together to take care of you. And you have a problem. So we can't really let you not see me again until I make these points clear. And these points are that you may think that God is a man or that God is even a woman. And I will tell you that God is both, but neither. And that when we are the neither, we can see greatness in both genders. But when we're only a man, we see only our self. And when we're a woman, you have been taught subservience. You have been taught to open that mouth and take it on in. Because if you don't, some woman will. And this means everything to you. Not in this kingdom. When we go to this new reality, we don't have any of that anymore. Women are, regardless of what culture you came from, and regardless of what the color of your skin is, and regardless of how fat or how skinny of your eyes are, blue or brown,
point I want to make to you, that the greatest prejudice that ever lived was the prejudice against women. Because they are the womb of creation. And in this world, all of creation is on their side to liberate them from religion that suppresses them and herds them and brands their ass like cattle. You know how I know they brand their ass? Because they wear your wedding ring. You brand them like cattle while you go out and go around. If we ever give women their freedom, they can live this world quite nicely from a sperm bank. Now, what does that tell you? Well, in the great work, it says to us, why are you the man that does this? Because maybe you're the woman that deceived the man to hold on to him. You sold your own soul for materialism. And when we talk about materialism as a bad thing, in terms of spiritualism, we're talking about it, not that it is a bad thing to have fabulous wealth. I tell all of my students, I want you wealthy. You know, and when I bless you and you get a runner and you're wealthy, I want you to give to this school some percentage of that wealth. Because if you don't, I'll take it away from you. We get rough and tough in the beginning. After a while, you understand. But moreover, that materialism isn't about that the more things you have, the further from God you are. Because how does that rate with Italy? How does that rate with the papal state? Clearly, they're wrong. Now let's take it down further. Is having things a bad thing? No, because what are things? They are held together, consciousness and energy, by some ingenious design. All things are alive. And just in case you didn't know that, all particles are consciousness. Remember what I said, that God is consciousness and energy. So some innocuous particle or molecule has consciousness. So the tree is alive and it is aware. And your piece of furniture that was made out of the tree has a long memory when it wasn't a chair. How many of you understand that? And why do we have to say it that way? Because if God is the ultimate creator, then what could possibly be dead in this creation? Is all alive. Death is the failure of living. Tell your partner that, please. It is the failure of living. What isn't alive? Do you know? It's an embarrassing question your teacher asks you. Because your whole life has just been about your choice of people, places, things, times, and events. And that's all your past. But is the forest alive? Is the weed alive? Is light alive? Is darkness alive? No molecule is without consciousness. Remember that. Always remember that. So, if God is the all in all, then all that is God. And how can we say that a piece of wood is dead? Any more than we can say that you're dead, because you're sort of like that, you know? No. How many of you are learning? How many of you gotten this mantle starting to lift off your head and off your soul? How many of you like how you're feeling here? Super. So be that. So, women then were once men. In fact, more women today used to be men. Because when they were asked to go to war and fight for the king and give their life for the king, and they saw the king, he's king, my wife. I'm going to come back as a woman. And women who were suppressed by men came back as men. And they said, no, ever going to do that to me again. And my respect for women, my respect for life, my understanding that if all molecules are alive, how could I ever diminish this human being for my own addiction? I will never do that again. So, when we talk about women finding their great liberty, we are talking about your promise, gentlemen, that if they ever break away from you and the consciousness of ownership and religion and men, and they choose who comes in their womb and who doesn't come in their womb, they are your promise in incarnation to become. Because if they lead the way to break away from you, they have proven that sexuality is not the anchor to true love. That true love happens when we fall in love with ourself. And if ourself needs self-respect, then we own up to all of our, and then we realize we are powerful, and we start to go by the only flicker of light that is in our soul, that flicker that makes known the unknown, and we begin the process of making our life into a marvelous, ingenious display. And we want them to do it, and we want them to do it, but we want them not to want us. We want them to be free. And we don't want no church making them feel bad. Men out of a church having control of these lovely women's bodies and wombs is a disgrace to your consciousness. We want them to be free because they're our dove. And when they are, their energy soars in a human being as one who sees life as a mother sees life. And mother's life. And we want them because they're geniuses. They may have hurt you, but it did ever occur to you they didn't like it. So, they may be your future. So the greatest suppression that ever was, when I am talking about you owning your blame, and indeed recognizing that which is termed your addiction, I want you to look at your women, whether it's your mother, your sister, the ladies around you, and I want you to think about them in terms that they are your future to come back. And what you want for them, not as a polar opposite, but that they are a God, that grace of benevolence. There is in men this need to own and corral. All churches are built by men, if you think about it. And the only religion that was ever, well, if we can call it that, was the wife of Christ. And they did away with her. So what are women capable of? As human beings, creation. Because they're creators. And if you rip their soul out of them and threaten them that you're going to leave them for some other woman, just one day they will say, there's the door. Please, it's your soul's journey. Be my guest. And they're going to go on. And what's always going to bother you is that all the beautiful and the women in the world with one look, Mr. Wonderful, you could have. But there'll be that one woman that said, there's the door. And we like that. So, in the manifestation of this message in the great school had to come in the form of a woman, the most prejudiced creature there ever was. It's not about the blacks were prejudiced or the Incas were prejudiced. These suckers ate the heart out of people. I mean, it's not that anybody was prejudiced. You know, everything is relative, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes!
Good. You're going to go far in this great work and do marvelous things in the kingdom of heaven. It's all relative. She can't take this person. If you start taking it personal, it starts to stink. And you lose your power. Can't go there. So, prejudice has to start that God wasn't just Jesus Christ. And it wasn't the apostles, those boring men. And it wasn't all those ugly materialistic popes. And materialism, what is that? It's when you sell your soul for an object. When you're selling your soul for paper money. When you're letting somebody buy your body. And then you give you this money and you go buy food. And you know what? We told you about that. It's just the raw materials that give you the ability to feel. That's materialism. Always remember that. So it isn't about making known the unknown. Because if materialism is bad, then so is making known the unknown. And there is a whole lot of you that never created a computer. And there are a whole lot of you never even created a telephone. Oh dear, where else can I go? There's a whole lot of you that never knew what it was to alchemically press the oil out of roses and make the elixir of oil. There's a whole lot of you don't even know how to grow wheat and make bread out of it. There are those of you who do not even know how to make your own clothing and even mix the chemistry to make the dyes that give you your favorite color. Don't tell me that you, let me tell you, you haven't even healed your eyes. You don't even know what it is to take care of yourself. All you want to do is play and play and play and then whine when you can't play anymore. You don't, none of you here, none of you created the banking system. None of you here made an airplane. None of you here made the food that is on your table. None of you here made the clothes that is on your back. You know what you had to do instead? You had to sell your freedom to pay for the piece of fabric you're putting on this body. How many days did you have to work to buy that? To wear one time. And God forbid you wear it twice. That's called materialism. And if you are only what you wear, you are a materialist. And if you sell your body, ladies, to that man because he's rich, then you are a materialist. And you're so far from liberty and freedom. It is all right to be poor because in the space of nothing, greatness comes up. Rises itself out of the field. We cannot stop the urge to fill in nothingness with somethingness. It is innate in us. It is our divineness. Can you dig it? It's cool. So, here I am in a woman that has always been a woman, by the way. This is the first time her body's ever been a man. And this woman has been one of the greatest human beings in history as a woman, to liberate people and to give people truth. Was truth so bad that we had to kill her? Was truth so bad that we had to burn it and cut its head off? And if we think that's bad, maybe socially denying it is just as bad. That's just as wretched. So what do we do with truth? When a person is onto that, and that its whole understanding is to bring enlightenment. Because my channel was the first child in my army given to me on the steppes of Russia. Abandoned. Her name is Ramaya. She's the oldest of all of my children. Hence, I had over 100, and I never spilt my seed. I must have had something really hot going on in my life. I did. So, you can't live in those times and not look around in the times of suppression and injustice and brutality in the name of God and not speak out about it. And know where destiny lies. That if this country overruns this country, these people are going to be born on the plane of demonstration under the inimical rule of this particular group of people. That can never happen. This is my channel. Spent all these years, for 35,000 years, for this hour. And who am I? I'm still sitting in my hovel at once, poking my fire and dreaming this future audience with you. Where am I? Well, where are you? Didn't I say? Who is the ray that looks through the stained glass window? What is it? And do we say that we are the recipients of reality? That whatever we dream, then our body is that, and indeed that we experience that. Yes, we could say that to one level. That is in accordance of the properties we have to wear when we are the wind. We are captured in mass. So that when we create a rose and it's here, the only way we're going to put our hand around it and smell it and experience it, because in order to make known the unknown, we have to create, we have to experience what we create, and once we have experienced what we create, we have finalized the journey of that creation, and that finalization is indeed called wisdom. And wisdom, why do we need the pearls of wisdom? Because wisdom allows us to extend our creative ability. For when we are heavy with reality of wisdom, we never duplicate. In other words, we are never addicted. Can you dig it? Turn to your neighbor and tell him what I just taught you. You may begin. So, who is your teacher? A woman. And a consciousness that was 35,000 years old. And what is the woman here to do? To provide the breast and the womb and the face and the body. And I'm going to show you, I may look like a woman, but I don't think there's any doubt in your mind that I'm not what I say I am. So the demonstration is, even the most prejudiced creature in the world, God lives through that entity. And that entity is powerful. And that is the image of your teacher, not a man. And we're not oming. We're not oming. And we're not crystallizing. And you're not taking drugs. You're going to be on the most natural high of wisdom. You can't even fathom what that's like. And so why am I here? I'm here to show you that a woman with breast and a womb and a rear end and over a half a century old is beautiful. Aren't I? And from this mouth, from these beautiful eyes, born children and husbands and poverty and wealth and love that is eternal, that no incarnation can ever get rid of. Because the more that we are God-like, the more love we have. Love is not chemistry. Because the mind of God is us all. And when we become that all, we are the all that God is, like you. So I just love it that mascara came out here. And hair, yeah, mama. Oh, rock your world. Because when we can honor this, all the women in the school will be free, and so will the men. And there, those victims that are always the weakest amongst us. Any man can spot somebody who's trying to turn it on. Any man. That's what men do. And women have her children out here, and she wants all of her children to be happy. I will do anything to make them that way. But mama needs a neurological adjustment. Mama has it. So, why this? Because a hope to get off of this plane of demonstration is that one day you will be the woman and think of the woman the next time you look at them and wonder what you're doing to your future self. And if you don't like who you are, you better get out of it and change. Because one day you're going to be this person that you use and abuse. How many of you understand? So be that. So, I think it's so tiring, Buddha. I think Buddha is tiresome. I think Jesus' suffering is tiresome and sadomasochistic. I think headhunters are tiresome. I think cultures are tiresome. I think your culture is tiresome. I think it's tiring. Your family, you think it's expensive to come to school. I want you to think about what your generations have given to the Catholic Church. And what did they have to prove it? Those Madonnas, those candles, those crosses, that guilt everywhere you look. And a country so impoverished because we can never allow the masses to rise up and have their own mind, because we got to keep them enslaved so we can feed off of them. Every culture does that. Not just yours, every culture. So why are you here? Why are you a Mexican? Why are you Portuguese? Why are you Canadian? Because that's the culture that the DNA appears in. And that's the environment that you get to work out everything. As long as you have Madonna, Mary, weeping and bawling, and Jesus bleeding all over your furniture, as long as you have that, when you get ready, you go, oh, that's sacrilegious. You know what? You are the worst sinner in the world. You want to go out there and do things Christ would never have done or even thought. And then you want to come back and have this icon of guilt so that you can ask forgiveness. Poor Jesus. How does he ever manage his next lifetime? I don't know. I think it's karma. But... I tell you, when you're bold and beautiful, when you are you, and you know that the greatest temple God ever made was no church, it was your body, and that the plan for your life was your preordination and indeed predestination for who you are. And that is there